So friends, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and I'm sure that some of you are very aware that that's not just a day off, it's a remembrance. It's a reminder, as the old saying go, that as far as veterans and those who served our countries, all gave something, but some gave all. There's people that died in the service of their country. Some of them were not even barely 18 years old. Women and men who were also sons and daughters and who were the pride of a community, and they didn't even make it into their 20s. And then people that were lifelong serving in the service, and they gave of their lives in war, and though they came back and were alive, torn up, never to be the same really again. And that's a service to a country that sometimes did not appreciate it, other times didn't understand it, and on occasion really loved them and thanked them so much. And so if you are a veteran, you have a family member who's a veteran, I want to invite you, first of all, if you have tomorrow off, come and hang out with us at the Flag Pavilion at 11 a.m. tomorrow, and be celebrated, be remembered, be encouraged. And if you're not able to do that, and you're working, or you're just not able to because of your schedule, would you please let us honor you and honor your family member, even right now. So if you have a veteran that you know, or you yourself are a veteran of serving our country, would you please stand so we can say thank you for all that you've done, all that's been done through. Thank you. God bless you, all of you. Thank you so much. All right. So we are going through the book of Luke, and it's been really, for some people, eye-opening, changing. And so I'm going to get right to it. We're talking about Jesus as sacrificial king. He is the one that laid down his life for all of us, and we're actually at that spot in Luke right now, in Luke 22, 23, 24, as it ends. It's with Jesus being arrested, which we'll read today, and then he's got this mock trial. He gets beat. He ultimately gets killed. And sadly, for some of us, we're like, yeah, 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 no. And then sadly, maybe for some of us, we're like, I don't know, was it really that bad? He rose from the dead. And I just want you to know, this was real person, a historical person. He's God in the flesh, yeah, but he was in the flesh, he was in the body. And so we see for him today that he agonized over what he was to do for all of mankind. And he chose to honor his daddy in all of it. And so Jesus is sacrificial king, which seems super oxymoronic for us that a king would be sacrificial, but he is. He was. And he loves you so much. All right, so I want to start out with two words, pray and stay. I don't know what that conjures up in you. I don't know what that makes you think about, but right now we're about to look at Jesus inviting his disciples to pray with him and stay alert, stay awake. But you and I could think about it a little bit maybe differently. Pray and stay praying. Pray and stay engaged with Jesus. Pray and stay engaged with the situation. How many times have you been asked to pray for somebody? They're going through a whole lot, and you might actually in that very moment pray, and then you forget all about it. And that's not a shame. I'm just saying, hey, humanity, we need help, right? We get into this moment, if you will, of being aware, and then we move on to the next thing. I want to ask you to consider, when Jesus calls us to pray, when Jesus calls us to stay, it's him saying, I want you to stay connected. How many of you have been in a desperate situation where you find yourself praying all the time? How many of you find yourself praying all the time and not seeing anything change? And do you find yourself tired of praying? Anybody besides me? You're just like, come on, God. You're like, are you supposed to cause us to stumble? No. Not on purpose. I'm just asking if we could be real, because praying and staying is challenging. But it's such a gift. we find ourselves praying over and over again on something, it is actually great because you're talking to God over and over again. Now, some of us are telling him, hey, you got to do this. You got to do this. Hey, God, come through for it, brother. Let's go. But some of us find ourselves just saying, Lord, ultimately, whatever you're going to allow, whatever's going to happen in this situation, I'm going to trust you. You find yourself in love with him more, and maybe even love with the person that you're praying for more, which is why some of us won't pray for our enemies, because that's tough. But watch today. You're going to see one other phrase and two other words, betray and stay away, and it's right there on your bulletin if you got one. And you have options. You can pray and stay. You can betray, or you can stay away. But Jesus still remains. Good news. So let's go. Luke 22, 39 through 46. Jesus says, establish communion, if you will. It's the Lord's Supper. It's saying, it's my body broken for you, my blood shed for you. Every time you do this, remember me. Veterans Day tomorrow, a memorial, right? A remembrance, a gratitude to veterans who served, who are still serving, those who have given them their lives as well. And Jesus made this lasting memorial that we would, every time we got together, we'd remember him. And that's why we do that. We don't do it because we hope it sticks eventually. We do it because we remember Jesus. And we celebrate him. We even sing about him. But so he's established all that. These guys at the table, when he's saying that somebody's going to betray him, they're like, was it me? Was it me? Was it me? And then we know that in the other Gospels, Jesus does say to Judas Iscariot, it's you. Go and do what you were going to do. But he actually had the Passover with him first. Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed, knew the one who was going to do it, and loved him anyway. That's some tough love. We usually think tough love is giving discipline. How about loving somebody when it's tough? Jesus did that. They also argued who's going to be the greatest. He goes, you know, the greatest among you is going to be the servant, the one that's like the baby among you, the one that gives. We've got a young man in Caleb who is absolutely learning us if we're ready to learn. He didn't just have this dream. He's like, how can we do this? He's cried and prayed over it. He's literally sweating over it. Part of me is like, is that child labor? And are we okay with that? But it's this offering of this little man's heart, which is huge. I find it not ironic. I find it very fitting that he's making hearts. Gosh, what a gift. Be like a child. Be childlike, Jesus is saying. And so with that, we'll look at the pray and stay portion of this. Verse 39, we'll go 39 through 46. And Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Now he'd be up there, he'd be camping, laying out underneath the stars during this Passover time, which if you remember, Jerusalem would be bumping with about 200,000 to 300,000 people, whereas before it'd be 20,000, so there's not a lot of room at the inn, if you will. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This cup of wrath, this cup of being killed for sure, but like this perfect, holy wrath for sin. And Jesus is starting to feel the pain of that. And he prays. He had told his friends to pray, and what did he say to them? Pray what? That you don't enter into temptation. Church, what do you think some of the temptation would be at that moment for them? Say it again. Join the party. Say it again.
Just taking a little nap.
Yeah. Tempted just to just give in, right? What were you saying, Michelle? Honestly, I think there's so much temptation in that, and I wasn't there. I don't understand all of it, but the temptation to lose sight of who Jesus is, to disobey him, to fall asleep, to take a break, to give in to the betrayal, all of that. Say it again.
That was prophetic.
It was prophetic, because there's a whole lot coming, and it's in a very short amount of time. So then he goes and he prays, and he's just a stone's throw away. He's crying out to Abba, Father, his daddy. And what does he say to his father? Maybe something that you've said. Is there any way this can pass from me? I don't want to go through this. See, that's where I usually end it. But because of Jesus, over and over again in my head, I find myself praying more like him. Not because I'm better than you or better even than I was. I just feel like he's calling me to be more like him. And I feel like today, I'm more desperate for him than I was when I first came to him. I have a lot better view of what a hot mess I am and what a great price he's paid. But he prays, friends, and what does he pray? And he stays praying. We know that in the other Gospels, he does this three times. We hear about it once here. What does he pray? Take this from me, but what else? Does that sound familiar to something he taught earlier, actually, in the book of Luke? And then we actually sang today? Think through it for a second. Yes, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a really cool thing to pray at memorial services. It's a thing to pray maybe at the table. Maybe you grew up in a faith tradition that prayed that over and over again, our Father who art in heaven, right? All of that. But what about the reality of living that out, which he's right in the middle of? What about for us praying, but not what I will, what you will? Would God will that his son would suffer? Was that God's will? You guys, nobody could pay this price but God. He wasn't just willing, he was insistent. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. The Son of God needed an angel to come and strengthen him. Remember, he was 100% man, 100% God, and he needed help. And angels still strengthen people today. Thank you, Lord. They are not to be worshipped. They are servants of the Most High God, messengers, and they're real. And fallen angels are real as well. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. A lot of debate has gone on for years about this. There is a medical condition that's so much anxiety, you can have little capillaries and blood vessels break, and you can actually sweat blood. I don't know if that's exactly the word like is in there. I think it could be a simile. Either way, Jesus was stressed, and he was attended to by an angel, and he kept praying. He prayed and he stayed. He was prepping his heart. Dear friends, I invite you yet again, Sunday morning, 8 a.m., we get together and pray. Tuesday nights, 5:30 p.m., we pray. Wednesday morning, 9:30 a.m., we pray together. And Thursday morning, 6 a.m., we pray. I invite you to come be a part of that. If you're like, bro, none of those work for my schedule. Excellent. Pray. Invite people to get together. I know that many of you, all of you, probably pray every single day. Do that. Pray and stay. Be earnest in your prayer. It's who you're talking to that makes the difference. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. They may not even totally known all of what they are sorry about. But they were exhausted and they slept. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Second time, church. We know that in the Lord's Prayer, right? He says, lead us not into temptation. God is not the one that tempts us, but he allows us to be brought into it. And temptation is something that's going to happen to everybody. Please note the words that Jesus says, that you won't enter temptation. Friend, you're going to be tempted. I'm going to be tempted. Temptation is also an opportunity to overcome the temptation to sin. It's not just, oh gosh, I had to do it. I got tempted. That's not all there is. And he says to him again, pray. And so next, I want to point out that part of what he was warning them from was betrayal. And there's so many stories of betrayal. You probably have your own story of betrayal. Being left hanging, you gave your heart to somebody and they took it and trampled on it. You look at our government, you look at pastors, you look at parents, and you've been betrayed. Not all of you, but all of you have had some kind of betrayal. And if we're just being honest, probably all of us have betrayed in some way, shape, or form. Betrayed trust or whatever. But betrayal to God, that seems like the one and only thing that you can't get over. Jesus mastered death, you guys. He overcame betrayal. And we're about to read it in the next couple of weeks, and even today. There is nothing you or I could do that could keep us away from him if we just repent. We just accept his love. Watch this betrayal, and this is tough. It's really hard to even to read. We'll go 47 through 53 here. While he was still speaking, he was saying, rise and pray. Get up, stay awake and pray that you won't enter into temptation. As he was saying those things, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, one of his closest, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. That seems weird to us, but that was a normal way you would greet. It was honor, it was respect. But Jesus said to him, he stops him up and goes, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? The answer to that, sadly, is yes. And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them, we know it's Peter from the book of John, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Some people said it's because he was a fisherman, not a warrior. He was aiming for a kill shot and got dude's ear. All I know is that he was trying to defend his Lord. And so he whacks off the ear of the high priest's servant. But Jesus says, no more of this. And he touched his ear and he healed him. Gosh, that's so much grace. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and the elders who had come out against him, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? You remember, he said it's going to fit and fulfill the scriptures that he would be counted with the transgressors. They're like, did I break any laws? Am I a robber? Am I somebody you have to be afraid of that you come out here with clubs and swords? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. There's a lot I can take away from that. This is the one takeaway that I can't get away from. Jesus healed his enemy and rebuked his disciple who was protecting him. What would you do? What would you do? What would you do if you're Jesus? Thanks, Pete. Nice try. You almost got his head. Give it another shot. I'll back up because you're a little bit unwieldy with that thing. Would you be like Jesus going, no, this is not how we win, Peter. I've told you. I have to suffer. I am going to die, but I'm going to rise again. Would you just be like, oh, it's just too much? You went from the anxiety of praying and maybe even praying and being so anxious, so filled with anxiety that you bled. What would you do? The one who's the King of Kings, the sacrificial king, said, this is not how we do it, Peter. And he healed, he picked up the dude's ear. It went, boop, and fixed it. That's his last miracle before raising from the dead. And then what happens after that? See, because right now on this side of all that, I could look at that and go, gosh, okay, wow, healed, rebuked him, gave himself, this is your hour, the hour of darkness. You came in to get me. Woo, you got me. I'm not fighting. I can't remember if it's in the book of John, but they say, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he, and they fall down. They fall down. They can't handle it. And it's almost like you could see him like, come on, get back up. I'm Jesus. You're looking for me. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be killed. And he was willing. He just prayed about it three times. Pray and stay or betray. Where are you at? The final one we'll look at is staying away. You don't fully feel like you've betrayed, but you've stayed away. You've kept a distance from Jesus. But you can still see him. We'll pick that up. We'll go 54 through the rest of the passage for today. Then they seized Jesus and they led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he was in the light, looked closely at him and said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, if you guys remember all the way back to January when we started this, this is a detailed recollection for a guy named Theophilus to hear all about Jesus and to know that what he'd heard about Jesus is true. Look at this detail. After about an hour, Luke interviewed people that were right there, including Peter. And Peter told him the story clearly. After an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man is also with them, for he too is Galilean. You would know a Galilean because they would have like our equivalent of a Southern or New York accent. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. We find out that he swore, like, I swear to God, I don't know who he is. How many times are we keeping track?
Three.
Yeah, we know how to keep track, right? But it's true. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. He was close enough to see Jesus, but not close enough to Jesus to follow him and to stand up for him. He said, I'll go to prison. I'll even die for you, Jesus. He goes, actually, Peter, you won't. You're going to deny me. I mean, he started out pretty strong. He said, like, get off my Jesus. And then Jesus rebuked him. And so for me, I keep coming to this. Sometimes Jesus does things in ways I don't like. I like me some vengeance. I like me some people paying for whatever it is they've done wrong to me or my children or my church. And when Jesus is like, no, that's not how we get down. You know what? I kind of back away a little bit. Sometimes I'm close enough. I could still be considered to be a Jesus follower, but I'm really kind of drifting. 3 times Peter had a chance to go, oh, yeah, you're right. Gosh, I am. That's why I'm so close. I can still see him, and I want my Jesus. But he was scared. And he denied Jesus 3 times. And on the 3rd one, after the rooster crowed, Jesus looks at him. Gosh, you guys, I don't know if he's walking by him. I don't know if he had been beat, and he just looks up and is like, I mean, that's what I think, right? In my head, I'm like, Peter's getting the shame look from Jesus. But at that point, Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me 3 times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. We're going to have a reprise of one of the songs. Your kingdom come, your will be done does not mean, and I want this so much, especially heading into this political season. I want so much for Jesus to come back and just make everything better and right. But he's actually doing stuff in his people. And his will being done doesn't just happen when he comes back the 2nd time. Church, today we get a chance to remember his body broken and his blood shed, but you get to answer this question. We'll have it up on the screen for you. Are you going to pray and stay? Are you going to betray? Or are you going to stay away? Because Jesus, in his sacrificial kingship, has opened the door for us to bounce back from betraying and staying away, to having the ability to stay and to pray and to live for his kingdom. God, let your will be done happens today. Please don't wait for it later. You got issues with your friends and your family? Today's the day. Pray. You got people addicted? Pray for them. Believe that the body broken and the blood shed gives victory. Please don't come up and take communion if you don't follow Jesus. This is not a religious pursuit. This is relationship. If you've recognized that he's God and you're not, and you've confessed that, then today, enjoy this. And pray and stay. And if you've gone away with betrayal, and you've gone away with neglect, and you've gone away with just saying, no, I don't know him, today's your day to come back. He'll take you right where you're at, but he won't leave you there. Thank you, Jesus. So as the song's playing, please come up and take it. And you take it in your time. And you remember that he loves you. He loved you so much that he died for you. And he raised from the dead. I know that's getting a little ahead in the story, but we need some good news. Good news is that he willingly did this. Not my will, but yours be done. Whether you pray and stay, you betray, you've stayed away. Jesus, right now, right here, his kingdom, his rule, his reign in your life, that's what he paid for. He wants you. He's not like, how many times did you deny me? That's right, I called it 3 times. Kiss the ring. That is not his heart for us. But if you want to stay away and you want to betray, he will let you. If you want to pray, he invites you. If you want to stay with him, that's beautiful. Daniel just reminded me, if we knew the power of prayer and just what authority we have in Jesus, and we remembered that over and over and over again, you know what? We'd probably pray all the time. All the time. So let's get to that. You can pray and live at the same time. Anybody pray while they're driving? Keep your eyes open, right? I'm praying by the Spirit. Okay, good. But drive with your eyes open. But you can pray all the time by God's grace. All the time. And he loves you. He knows what's coming. And he's with you. Jesus, thank you. Have your way in us and through us. May we not be people who quickly run away. But if we do, we would actually just as quickly turn around and realize you look at us and love us still. Thank you for the good news of the gospel. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Thank you, Jesus, for willingly, by the grace of your Father, paying our price. And thank you so much that your will being done in us is not someday, it can be today. I thank you for that in your perfect name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.